Good morning.
Morning.
Let's go ahead and get started on our Sunday school hour this morning. Now, Brother Wes, if you'd please ask the Lord to bless our Sunday school.
Yeah, Father, Lord God, we thank you once again, Lord, for bringing us to your house this morning, Lord. We just thank you and love you this morning, Lord. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you for giving us eternal life.
Amen.
We believe on you, Lord. We believe you raised again. Rose again, Lord. We just thank you and love you. Thank you for Sunday school hour now, Lord.
Amen. All right, we're continuing our study on the lessons of the cults and continuing lesson three on Roman Catholicism, the mother of cults, the most powerful cult in the world is Roman Catholicism. We've pretty much looked at that the last 3 or 4 weeks so far, and we're just getting started as far as all that we could cover concerning the heresies that are propagated by this institution. But this morning we're going to look at the Roman Catholic Church and their teachings concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's some handouts in the back. You can grab one of those and follow along with us if you'd like and make notes on that. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Roman Catholicism calls Mary the mother of God. That's what they call her. Read you this here. This is a Roman Catholic publication. All right. What they publish to be read by Catholics, it's a handbook for today's Catholic. It shows them what they should believe and why they should believe it according to the teachings of the, quote, church. It says here, number 9 is Mary, mother of Jesus and of the church. Now, that's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Mary is your mother if you're a Christian. The Second Vatican Council has crowned the dogmatic constitution on the church. See, they're so dogmatic. With a beautiful chapter on Mary, the prototype and model of the church. The church cannot come to a full understanding of union with Christ and service to his gospel without a profound love and knowledge of Mary, the mother of our Lord and ourselves. I'm not making this up, this is what they teach. Because she is the mother of Jesus, this is how it works, this is their logic, Mary is the mother of God. Now, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, right? Well, Jesus Christ is God, wasn't he? Well, wasn't Mary his mother? You see how they do it? See how they pervert that thing? Mary was the mother of the physical Son of Man, Jesus. See, that's the difference. The Virgin Mary, who at the message of the angel received the Word of God in her heart and in her body and gave life to the world, the world gets life through Mary, is acknowledged and honored as being truly the Mother of God and of the Redeemer. Okay, you got God and then you got God's Mother. Who came first? We have any mothers in here this morning? Raise your hands. Okay, how many of you have your children tell you what to do? Well, then who's in charge? So who's really God? Don't look guilty, husbands. I didn't ask if she was telling you what to do. I was talking about the kids. So what do they call her? Our Lady of Lords. Right? She is, quote, the mother of God. Now, problem with that. In the scripture, she is only referred to as the mother of Jesus. Mary is never called the mother of God or even the mother of the Son of God anywhere in scripture. In the scripture, there is no mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus, after Acts chapter 1. Thereby showing that the early church gave no more thought of Mary than of anybody else. She wasn't held up in any special kind of adoration. So obviously she had no place of significance in the early church at all. Look in John chapter 2, John chapter 19. What you'll see in the scriptures is that no place ever does the Lord Jesus Christ ever even call Mary his mother. Now, you would think if she was the mother of God, God would at least let us know that by at least one time calling her mother. But he never did. No, not once. Look with me in John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus, the mother of who? See, it's always the mother of Jesus or the mother of Jesus Christ, never the mother of the Son of God. Never the mother of God. Never. Verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever I say unto you, do it. No. What do the mothers tell the servants? Whatever he says, do. He doesn't even call her mother. What does he call her? Woman. See? Look in chapter 19 of John. John chapter 19, verse 26. It's Jesus when he's on the cross, John chapter 19 and verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, who's that? John, okay. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about John. Woman, his mother, doesn't call her mother. Behold thy son. He's not even acknowledging her as his mother. He's saying, that's going to be your son. And then he says to that disciple, then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Well, Joseph is gone. Joseph's dead. That's what's going on here. And so the responsibility is for the firstborn to take care of his mother. Right? Well, he's dying. So what's he have to do now? He has to make sure that his physical mother is taken care of. So why doesn't he get one of his own brothers or sisters to take care of her? They're not believers at that time. You see? They're not believers at that time. You got a will made out? If you passed away, what would happen to your children? Is it made out to your parents that aren't saved? To a brother or sister that's not saved? It better not be. You see? The Lord made sure his mom was going to be with somebody that was saved to take care of her. Okay? Now later on, we find his brothers get saved and all, which is good. But at that time they didn't. So even here, he doesn't call her mother. As a matter of fact, he makes her somebody else's mother, not even his own. Well, how would you say then she's the mother of God? Where'd you get that from? Right. You make it up. Like every cult. It's called fables in the Bible. That's all it is. You make up stories that you like. Had nothing to do with the Bible at all. Number two, Roman Catholicism claims that Mary was a perpetual virgin. You know, they've got some of those churches up north, you'll find those. We used to make fun of them all the time, call them Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. You know, we thought that was a good... But, yeah. But that's what they teach right here. Before, during, and after the birth of Jesus, her son, Mary remained physically a virgin. Oh, as a virgin. Perpetual virginity of Mary. That's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Now, it is true that she was a virgin until the birth of Jesus Christ. That's Scripture. See, look in Isaiah 7, Isaiah chapter 7 and Luke chapter 1. So what they're basically doing is taking a truth and twisting it to a half-truth. Look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Why? The Jews require a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's some sign. That's some miracle. A virgin conceiving and bearing a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. See? Who is it? A virgin. So she was a virgin when she conceived. No doubt about that. Well, that would have been the way to go since she wasn't married. Because everybody knows you're supposed to be a virgin until you're married. Right? In case there's anybody here that's been raised in public schools and watching television, you might have missed out on that. The Bible's very plain on that. You're to be a virgin until you're married. Amen. Anything else is considered fornication. Right? Okay. Until you're married. How's the marriage consummated? The loss of virginity. Okay, now, Luke chapter 1, and look with me, please, in Luke 1, verse 27. Starting in verse 26 for the context. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. She's engaged to Joseph. They are not yet married. She is a virgin of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So yes, she was a virgin, amen, until the birth of her son Jesus. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so Mary remains a virgin until the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't have that verse written down. Does anybody remember where that is? Yeah. What verse is that? No, it says until she brought forth, knew not Joseph until she brought forth her firstborn son. Anybody know where that is? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25. Thanks for all your help. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25. Knew or not till. Now look at that. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. You know why it says till? Because after she bore Jesus, see, they were husband and wife. She was a virgin until the birth of Jesus. She had at least six children after Jesus. So obviously she didn't remain a virgin after his birth. Fortunately for Joseph. Amen. Yeah, think about it. What's part of the whole, husband and wife thing? I know that's deep. What does the Bible say over there in 1 Corinthians 7? Defraud you not one another. When they're saying that, they're saying Mary was a sinner. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You're going to say she's sinless, and then you're going to say that she defrauded her husband. Hello? Something doesn't fit there. It's obvious from the Bible that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Look in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 6, and Acts chapter 1. You got them all yet? Yes, sir. As far as we know, they're all by Joseph. Mark chapter 6. To say anything else would be an assumption based on no scripture at all. Mark chapter 6, and then Acts chapter 1. Matthew 13, Mark 6, and Acts 1. Y'all ready? Still hearing a lot of pages turning. I don't want to lose you here. All right, look first in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? He's got four brothers, and he gives them by name. And his sisters, which means what? At least two. So Mary had at least six children. What you need to understand is what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching about Mary has nothing to do with the Mary of the Bible. Mary, quite contrary. It don't fit. It won't work. They've got a different Mary. You say, but the Catholics must be Christians after all. They believe in the Trinity. No, they don't. If Mary's the mother of God, then you got an extra God thrown in there. You don't have a Trinity. That's baloney. Look over in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Comparative passage. Mark 6. Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Amen. There it is. He's got brothers and sisters right there. His brothers and sisters don't even believe on him until after his resurrection. Look in Acts chapter 1. Verse 13. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Well, there it is again. Now that's the last mention of Mary in the whole Bible. Amen. And she's mentioned to be there with Jesus' brothers. Amen. His half-brothers at that time. All right, so Rome's teaching of the perpetual virginity of Mary is a lie. Out of the pit of hell. Not only that, but they also teach the Immaculate Conception. How many of you know what the Immaculate Conception is? You ask the average Catholic these things, they don't even know. They don't know. You ask the average Catholic what the Immaculate Conception is, you know what they think? Well, that's the virgin birth of Christ. They'll tell you that. You say, no, that's not what it is. You don't even know what your own church teaches. That's not what they teach. What's the Immaculate Conception? As Mother of the Lord, Mary's entirely unique person, like her son. Well, Jesus was God and Mary's a God. Like her son, she was conceived as a human being. Then she's not a human being. That's what they just told you. She was conceived as a human. You want to read it for yourself? I'm not making this stuff up. This is the Roman Catholic doctrine, what they teach their people. Where are we at now? Like her son, she was conceived as a human being and lived her whole life exempt from any trace of original sin. This is called her Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is the fact that Mary was born sinless and remained sinless throughout her entire life. That's what they teach. That's what Rome believes. That's what a billion people on the face of this earth profess to be the true Christian church. That's it. And you don't think it's a cult? What would you call it? I mean, it's wicked saying that stuff right there. Do you realize how demeaning that is to the true Mary? You realize how demeaning that is to God and His Son when you do that stuff? That's wicked. Look there in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In case you actually think maybe there's a possibility that Mary was actually sinless. Luke chapter 2. There might have been some kind of an immaculate concoction, but there's no immaculate conception. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purifying according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. A sacrifice. What was the sacrifice? A pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. That was the sacrifice. What are sacrifices for? Some of you don't believe me. Hold your place here. Look at Luke chapter 12. You know what Luke chapter 12 is about? This is the law on when a woman bears a child, a firstborn, and what she's to do. Look in verse 7. Leviticus 12, verse 7. What did I say? Oh. All right. I had the first letter right. Hold your place there in Luke, but look back here in Leviticus chapter 12. There are some times, it would be nice if this stuff wasn't recorded. Yeah, but see, then I could say y'all were lying and I was right, and now, but I can't do that now because I know you'll play it back and you'll get me. Amen, brother. All right. Okay. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. In case anybody's wondering, Sid White is preaching this morning, so there's still hope. Lord knows what he's doing. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 7. Bless God, we're going to get here sooner or later. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her? She shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that hath borne a male or a female. What is she supposed to do? Verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a, help me out. She was sinless though, right? No. What is she bringing? She's bringing a sin offering. You know why? Because she was a sinner. When did Jesus Christ bring a sin offering? He didn't need to. You know why? He was sinless. There's only one that's ever been sinless. And it wasn't Mary. It was Jesus Christ. And Mary even confessed to that. Look back in Luke chapter 1. And yes, I mean Luke. Luke chapter 1. Read with me beginning in verse 46, Luke 1:46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my," help me out,
Savior.
Why did she need a Savior? You would need a Savior if you were sinless. So once again, you have to make a choice. Either the Roman Catholic Church is true and the Bible is a lie, or the Bible's true and the Roman Catholic Church is a lie. It's a free country. Decide for yourself. But don't try and make believe that the Roman Catholic Church actually believes the Bible. Grant some of us the ability to have an IQ of above 40. Amen. All right, going on, number four. Roman Catholicism holds to the teaching of the Assumption. What is the Assumption? Mary was transported up into heaven, just like Jesus. Whoop, right? They got pictures of Mary going like this, going up into heaven. That's called the Assumption, and it is quite an assumption. Behold, during and after the birth of Jesus, her son, Mary remained physically a virgin, and at the end of her life, Mary was assumed, that is, taken up, body and soul, into heaven. This is called her assumption. That's what they teach. Now, we know the Bible doesn't teach that, but that's what they teach. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. At the time of the writing of the Apostle Paul, the book of Hebrews, there's only one person in heaven that's there, body, soul, and spirit. Only one. Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't it a terrible thing that the Apostle Paul forgets to mention the Mother of God in heaven when he's talking about everybody that's up there? Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." All right, talking about heaven. "And into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus." Well, there's a person. There's a whole one there. Who is it? It's Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Nothing in the Bible anywhere about Mary ascending up into heaven. Say, what are they doing? They're trying to make her into a god. Why? What did I teach the first week we went over this stuff? Roman Catholicism is based on the mystery Babylonian religion. The Babylonian religion teaches that one of the chief gods is a female deity. And that female deity, sometimes called Semiramis, sometimes called Venus, sometimes called Ishtar or Aster, or where you get the word Easter from. See, Easter, what is that? That's the Gentiles celebrated Easter long before any Christians did. Easter was simply a celebration of a spring festival. See, that's the Queen of Heaven. That's the female god and her offspring. So you celebrate it when? At springtime. That's when everything, new life is coming about, right? That's why you have eggs, fertility, rabbits, fertility. See? That has nothing to do with Jesus and the resurrection and all that. It has to do with pagan Babylonian teaching. All right? And so what they're saying is Mary is now up in heaven, and what she's doing up in heaven is she's serving as our, I lost my page now. There it is. She is serving as our mediator. That's what they teach. Mary's up there praying for you. See? She's out to help you out. She's answering your prayers. All right? Like a mother waiting up for her grown children to come home, Mary never stops influencing the course of our lives. Well, how could a person do that? She's not a person. She's a god. There's no way around it. That's what they believe. That's what they teach. How could you have 200 different people all at one time around the face of the earth praying to Mary and she hear them all? That's what they believe?
Yes, it is.
Well, then they believe she's a god. They won't come right out and say that, because then you'd know there was a little hocus-pocus going on. And they try and do things covertly,
yes. See?
Like every cult does. Let's see. Vatican II says she conceived, brought forth, nourished Christ. She presented him to the Father in the temple, shared her son's sufferings as he died on the cross. Well, I can show you pictures of churches down in South America that got Mary on a cross. For this reason, she is a mother to us in the order of grace. By her maternal charity, she cares for the brethren of her son, us, who still journey on earth, surrounded by dangers and difficulties, until they are led into their blessed home. This mother, who saw her own flesh and blood son die for the rest of her children, you and I, is waiting and preparing your home for you. I thought Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Somebody's got the wrong God. Amen. So what they teach simply, look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, should be a familiar verse to most of you, is that Mary's up there acting as a go-between, because, you know, Jesus, he's a man. A man are kind of rough and mean. You can't really talk to him, but you can go to the mama, and you can convince Mary, and then she'll tell Jesus, "Now, Jesus, answer their prayer. Come on, son. After all, they're good folks, won't you?" Because Jesus is kind of harsh and mean. He's not as loving as Mary. That's what they teach. Do you understand how they demean the Lord Jesus Christ through their teachings? That's exactly what they do. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Let me look in 1 Timothy and I'll... 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the woman Mary." No! The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Nothing about Mary there. You have one mediator. There's one name you pray in when you go to God, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." He never told you to ask anything in his mother's name. He said, "You ask it in my name, I'll do it." Amen? Let's give you one more here. Where are we at on time? Oh, we're fine. We're fine. Let me turn to page 45 in this thing. Here's a prayer. The name of this prayer, now these are the liturgical prayers that Catholics are supposed to pray. And they give them all in order. You can see right here, number one, prayer number one, sign of the cross. Prayer number two, Our Father. Prayer number three, Hail Mary. Prayer number four, Prayer of Praise. Prayer number five, Apostles' Creed. Prayer number six, Morning Offering. See, they give you the prayers to pray. You don't have to think up anything on your own. You can just pray. Whatever they tell you to pray, you take out the book and that's your prayer. Prayer number seven, Act of Faith. Prayer number eight, Act of Hope. Prayer number nine, Act of Love. Prayer number 10, Act of Contrition. Prayer number 11, Come Holy Spirit. Prayer number 12, Angelus, a prayer about Mary. Prayer number 13. What's the name of prayer number 13, brother?
Queen of Heaven.
Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. Yeah. Response, the Son, whom you were privileged to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray to God for us. Who? Queen of Heaven. Mary. Pray to God for us. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad, Virgin Mary. Hallelujah. Response, for the Lord has truly risen. Hallelujah. Let us pray, O God, it was by the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you brought joy to the world. Grant that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joy of eternal life. I'm just telling you what they teach. Don't get mad at me. Why don't you get mad at them? Roman Catholics call Mary the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of the Church. Who is your mother? Do you know? Look in Galatians chapter 4. The Bible tells you who your mother is. And it ain't Mary. Quite contrary. Galatians chapter 4. Imagine some guy walking around, some overweight bum, liquorhead, going around like this and flying all over the world and telling everybody to submit to him, and saying, I'm a messenger of peace, I've come to bring peace, now everybody follow my religion. Believe in that stuff right there that we've gone over this morning. And then when he dies, people like Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell getting up and saying he was a wonderful Christian man. Imagine such a thing. And then Christians getting mad at Brother Ray for pointing out the truth. Imagine such a thing. How could that ever happen? Because brethren, you're in the last days and people could care less about the truth. It's let's all get along, let's get rid of doctrine so we can all be happy and get along. And that's what's being pushed down people's throats. That stuff right there. Look there in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's New Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. You know who my mother is? It's heaven. I was born of heaven. Amen. And of the Father in heaven. That's it. All right. So now look in Revelation chapter 12. Went over this some in our Revelation study, but for those of you that weren't here then, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. Revelation 12 and verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And if you ever see a Catholic's representation of Mary, that's how they picture her.
Exactly.
It's that thing right there. All right? They say and teach that right there is Mary. See? She's the Queen of Heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. And so you'll see her and there'll be a brightness all about her. And she's standing like this and she's got a crown on her head. And on that crown and going around are the stars. And you'll see that she's on top of the moon. Now, I'm telling you the truth. That's how they portray Mary. It's that thing right there. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Well, isn't Mary the mother of Jesus? See? So therefore, this must be Mary. No, the real mother of Jesus is who? It's the nation of Israel. Christ came from who? The Jews, you see. He came from the nation of Israel. Well, how do you know that? That's just your interpretation. All right, well, let's look in verse 5. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and to his throne. Notice she isn't. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years of great tribulation. Who's going through that? Mary? No, it's the nation of Israel in the great tribulation. There's no doubt about it. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, no doubt about it at all. Look down there in verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. Time, a year, times, 2 years, half a time, half a year, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That's why Jesus told him, when you see that time coming, don't turn back from the mountains and go back to your houses. If you're on your rooftop, don't come down. Why? There's a flood coming. That was the warning, you see. He's sending a flood to destroy them. If you're on your rooftop, don't come down. If you're in the mountains, don't return back. Woe to them that be with child, and to them that give suck in those days. See? And by a flood, the overspreading of abominations, making it desolate. You ever read that in Daniel chapter 9? That thing happens with a flood. The devil's going to try and drown them out. And when that happens, they flee to Salem, Petra. And God takes care of them and sends a manna down from... I don't have time to get into all this Revelation study, all right? But just to show you, what this thing's talking about here is not Mary. This thing here is talking about Israel, and no place does it call her the Queen of Heaven. You don't get that, you just have to make that thing up. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who's that? The Jews. Who does the world hate? The Jews. Who are they out to get? The Jews. Why? Because their father's the devil. And the devil ain't changed his ways and won't. He wants to get rid of the Jews. And so that's no doubt about it, what this thing's talking about. But like I said, there's no mention there of Mary being the Queen of Heaven anywhere in that. Even if they wanted to make that Mary, there's nothing there about being the Queen of Heaven. But it's not, it's Israel. Now, there are some references to the Queen of Heaven in the Bible. We'll look at those. Look with me, please, in Jeremiah, chapter 7. What has Israel done? They've forsaken the Lord, and they've turned to Baal. They've turned to the Babylonian religion. And so God is forsaking them. He says in verse 14, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not for this people. Wow. Nor lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? I'm sure we'll hear about some of that today from Brother Sid, what's going on now. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. It ain't going to work. Calling her the Queen of Heaven, what is that stuff? It's false gods, man. It's satanic. It's not just a fable. It's the doctrine of Satan himself, this Queen of Heaven stuff. Look in Jeremiah 44. And because they turned to the Queen of Heaven, God forsook Israel and allowed them to be destroyed, basically leaving only a small remnant. I mean, wives with children having their wombs ripped open and their children thrown in the rocks and smashed in pieces, sending famine into the land where the women were eating their own children. That's what God did to Israel because of this stuff. He ain't changed his mind a bit. No. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods Well, there's where it starts a lot of times. Well, honey, where do you want to go to church? Why don't you get a stinking spine, you worm? Amen. Well, it's just the wives doing it. Yeah, that's how they got messed up. Women in there, yeah. I'd use words, but I'm a Christian. Verse 15, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. We have our traditions, we have our beliefs, we believe what we want, we have our own stories, we don't want to hear what God has to say. Verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. So what do? They burn incense. They take little cookies, little pieces of dough, in the religious services. For what purpose? They're making offerings to the Queen of Heaven. It's exactly what they're doing. Verse 17, second part down through there. As we have done, we, our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Hey, when we were doing all these bad things, everything was fine, but now terrible things are happening, so we better return to them. Well, why does it happen in the first place? Why is the terrible things happening? Because they were doing wrong and God's judging them. Their idea is, well, in that case, we'll just go ahead and do wrong. Verse 18, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Now, we got right and things aren't still going right, and we've been right for a whole week now, and God still hasn't blessed us, so we're going to go back to our old ways. Verse 19, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? No, the men were right there involved in it too. Amen. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye, and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which you have committed? Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, O Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Go ahead then. If you want to do it, help yourself. But guess what's coming?
Right.
Judgment.
Yeah.
Amen. Judgment. The God of this world is Satan. And he has a bride. There shouldn't be any doubt at all when Revelation 17 is talking about Mystery Babylon and a great whore sitting on seven mountains. Shouldn't be any doubt at all of that city that reigns over the kings of the earth, what the Bible's talking about.
Amen.
And when God brings judgment upon her, the saints that are in heaven are rejoicing. And you got Christians today, instead of rejoicing when a preacher points out and gives light upon the truth of this wicked whore, they get mad at that preacher. You know what the problem with them people are? They're probably not saved. And if they are, they're so off from being anywhere close to in fellowship with God that there's no hope for them, man. They're beyond hope. They can't think. And I've dealt with people like that for a while now. Man, I'm telling you that one of the accusations that was brought against this pastor by a bunch of, quote, deacons that used to be in this church, and the reason that they wanted to get rid of Brother Ray is because Brother Ray was speaking bad about the Roman Catholic Church. Well, I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to help myself, and I'm just getting started. Amen. And if you don't like it, you can lump it, because that's Bible, and I'd rather go with God and be on His side than on the devil's. You choose what side you want to be on. That'd be a good place to close in prayer. Right there. Brother Henry, would you close us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord.